What is it we used to say here in Ottawa? Nick Paul does it all?
Man, that was impressive. Skate to stick, back of the net, and that's your game winner. For Tampa Saturday, one of five Game 7s over the weekend. All five of them were tight. A couple of them, in fact, last night went to overtime. And so, round one in the books. I think we can all agree, pretty good round one overall. But round two sets itself up on paper like this should be epic. Should be. We'll see. We'll see. It all starts tomorrow. You get a day off to rest today, finally, from the Stanley Cup playoffs after what ended up being 14 consecutive days of games,
I guess, right? Yeah.
Day off today, and then round two starts tomorrow.
And for Nick Paul, JR, growing up, I assume you're playing for the Leafs in a Game 7, right?
Yes.
Now to go home and to on the biggest stage, pretty good time to make a name for yourself, scoring both goals and the game winner.
Yep, and not a bad time to be doing all of that on a national/international stage. And as a pending unrestricted free agent as well. All right, without further ado, let's get to the phones and welcome Dave Poulin. He's our TSN Hockey Insider. As always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Dave?
Very well, gentlemen. The sleep pattern's a little awry. Didn't really need that overtime last night, as entertaining as it was. And now tonight, I'm a mess because I have no idea where I am in whatever series I was watching on Netflix 2.5 weeks ago, or whatever, before the playoffs start. So on and off, and I was like, what do you want to watch? What do you mean, what do I want to watch? I want to watch four hockey games. That's what I want to watch. Yeah. And but just terrific entertainment. And, you know, I'm hopeful when we jump in here to the second round. I mean, the way it sets up with the Battle of Alberta and the Florida series, and I think that St. Louis-Colorado series is just going to be terrific. And Carolina and the Rangers, it'll be interesting to see. Normally, for me, it takes a game or two to get in to the second round, particularly when you've been in a seven-game series, because you dislike the other team so much from that seven-game series, and you dislike individuals so much, and there's that little relaxation of, wow, we just made it through the first round. And the first round, I think, is the hardest round to win, and you can steal the first game of the second round because you don't hate them and they don't hate you yet. And I don't think that's going to be the case this year with the Battle of Alberta and the Battle of Florida in particular. And probably think it less about Carolina and the Rangers. But they were in pretty heated series themselves. So I think it sets up very well moving forward, but it always takes a game for me to get into the second round. And it did as a player, I think, as well. It's just human nature that I didn't have to see the same guy, you know, after seven nights in a row. And now it was, you breathe and you relax, and all of a sudden you were in another series.
Dave, was there a bigger breakout star for hockey fans than Jake Oettinger, the Dallas goalie, after what he did through the seven games despite the loss?
Just tremendous. And, you know, and it's funny when you look at something like that because, you know, I'd heard about a lot. You know, I have a lot of friends that still work in that U.S. program and that come up through that. And so you'd heard about Oettinger. And, I mean, he was a first-round draft pick. He's not a surprise. But you wonder really how much Dallas even knew how this player was going to be. Because if you look at their goalie situation, I mean, you know, after their run in the bubble, they re-upped Khudobin for a couple of years. They still had Bishop on contract for a couple of years. I mean, they went out and got Holtby. So it was like, okay, well, did they know how good Oettinger was going to be? Or is he even ahead of their curve? Because they had seemingly protected themselves so much in net for this veteran team. You know, Bishop's had the health issues. I mean, they all three guys have, but Holtby going out and getting him. It was just interesting to me because, you know, I've talked to people around that always thought he was coming and thought he was good, but I think he even surprised Dallas this year, guys.
Well, you go back to that draft, Heskinen to Oettinger to Robertson. How good is that for the Dallas Stars?
But you need a draft like that. You need a three-person or even, you know, at some point a four-person draft, Simmer. You can't just hit on your first guy, and that's how important that is. And you know, if you look, you know, at that group, you'd say the real surprise is Robertson. Heiskanen was a no-brainer, and Oettinger was a really good pick. And I think the hardest one to pick in the first round is a goaltender. And, you know, I think we've talked about Detroit and how I thought that In Stevie's first draft in Detroit, he would take Spencer Knight. He ended up taking Sider, which looks tremendous, and it was too high to take Knight. But he got Kosa, the big kid out of the Western League, this year in the first round. And I think it was his second draft down in Tampa when he took Vasilevsky in the first round. And so, you know, it's just where you roll the dice with that first round goalie. But you need multiple year drafts like that. You need guys or multiple player drafts within a year where, you know, all of a sudden now you look at that younger group there and it looks a lot better. And they've got some aging players in that team, but the young core looks a lot better with those three 23-year-olds.
How important was this win for Calgary? I mean, overall, I don't think there's any doubt, anybody that watched it, they were the better team, but that doesn't guarantee you're going to win a series. Ultimately, they did win the series. How important was it? Was that the victory for that group, which hadn't tasted a whole lot of success playoff-wise?
Just enormous. And you're going to be tested, you know, within a series to a whole different level. And, you know, that Dallas team, if I were managing that team, I'd be as frustrated by their lack of performance during the regular season, JR, as I am by their success in the playoffs, because they look like a capable group that can up it at the appropriate time, which, you know, to coach them would be incredibly frustrating, I'm sure. And you know, but Calgary, I think, was the team out west that was built. I've actually picked them to go through to the finals before the playoffs started, guys. I think they're a team that's built for today with a coach for this team today. And, you know, and even contractually playing out Johnny Gaudreau, having him be the hero last night, you know, he's the unrestricted UFA with all the questions about him. Not having a Sean Monahan even in the picture. And, you know, you don't even mention him or think about him right now. But I think that team is built to win in the playoffs. They're big, they're physical. They lost a couple of defensemen through the course of the series and then the game last night. But I think that's a playoff team. But if I'm looking at the blueprint, boy, oh boy, I like what I see in Calgary. So good to see them get through. And you know, Dallas plays off their experience of a couple of years ago going to the finals in the bubble and just saying, okay, well, we remember how to do it. We can do it. And then they ride that hot goaltender.
Pooley, I don't mind upsets when a team surprises me, and that was the case of L.A., not in the case of Dallas. How thankful are you from an entertainment standpoint that the eight teams that move on, now there were some close series, but overall, that quality into round two is just absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, I agree with you, and normally you do get an upset, and that's what the first round is about, but this group moving forward, I actually picked St. Louis to be in the final five, guys. We had to pick five at the start of the playoffs, and I took them as my outlier. I know Craig Groovy well, and I know, you know, but that's a team that's only a couple years removed from winning the Cup, and enough of the thread is there to dial it up. My question in St. Louis was, is it going to be two goaltenders? And it proved to be two goaltenders. It wasn't, you know, the guy that started in Husso, but now it's Binnington, but they can also always go back to Husso. So, but I think this series, this second round, is going to be terrific. And I know people are sort of dismissing Tampa and saying, you know, it's going to be Florida now, and Tampa had a hard series, and, you know, they don't have point. It looks like he may be out. And Kucherov, our understanding was, guys, that his was a sickness and more of a flu cold thing than it was any sort of injury. And as much as he's looks indifferent in his play, he's also spectacular in his indifference within that. So, yeah, it's going to be fun, Simmer. I think it's really, really sets up well for the second round.
All right, get your thoughts on the Leafs, because that obviously is a huge topic still. Garbage bag day coming up today. But let's touch on the other series from Saturday, and I wanted to get your thoughts on the future of Patrice Bergeron as the Bruins go out in seven games. He's part of that epic 2003 draft class. He's had an incredible career. He's checked every single box that you would want to check as a player. And, you know, just given the hugs appear to be a little more emotional than normal as the players left the ice for him. And I know that's standard operating procedure for him and what he does with his teammates, but what was your takeaway from kind of the way that game closed out and his reaction to everything?
You are exactly right. Those hugs were a little more emotional. And, you know, it's always hard at the end of the year, and then you wait a little bit and you start to feel better from your bumps and bruises. But to me, at 37, and, you know, he's had significant health issues over the years. And I think back to when I first got back into the league In 2009, I came back in. In the previous 2 years, one of the years, he only played 10 games. And, you know, he'd had the concussion issues. And it was one of the first players that I talked to our management group about. He had 2 years left in his deal, almost $5 million, but he played limited. He had come back and played the previous year, but 2 years previous, he hadn't. And, you know, and my first thought, you know, we would go around with kind of a wild card stab type of conversation around the coffee table. And I said, look, is there any way we can get Patrice Bergeron out of Boston? Like, is there any way that they think that the injuries are a factor and they'd be, you know, they'd like to free up that money? That's how much I loved that player back then. You know, and it was before he had even done the bulk of what he's done. I just think he's one of the classiest and best representatives of the game that there have been in the last decade. Just spectacular. And he's done it all. He's won his individual awards. He's won the cup. He's been in the finals a couple of more times after that. It wouldn't surprise me, JR, if he were to walk away with his head held high. And not many players get to walk away healthy on their terms after playing for one team their entire career. And he would be in that cast. I mean, he's an absolute Hall of Famer. And you hope a player like that stays in the game and chooses to stay in the game and get involved. And, you know, and I know there's family time and all those things, but even, you know, when I talk about moving, when you go your whole career without having to call a moving company, that's pretty spectacular. And that's pretty spectacular on your family and everything else. And, you know, if you're making a move, you're making it on your terms in the summer to a neighborhood you want to move into. That's doable for most families. So I hope he stays in the game. You know, you'd love to see him continue to play, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if, as he's done his entire career, he gracefully walks off.
And Pooley, would it also, for a guy like that, very intelligent, very practical, you've won a Stanley Cup, you've had a great run, would he also be somewhat realistic and look around and realize that, hey, this is not quite the team right now? You know, hey, I love playing to some extent, but we're not on the verge of winning a cup, and I've already won a cup.
He should realize that. The only verge they were even, you know, close to winning the first series is because of his line. And I know Pasternak's younger, but Marchand isn't, and I think he should know that, Simmer. I think that will be part of the factoring in for me with Patrice Bergeron and what the way he looks at it is, because you also factor in realistically, guys, the East is going in the other direction. You know, Florida's going to be good. And I think these teams, and Ottawa is certainly one of them, Detroit, Buffalo, are potentially on the serious upswing now. And if you're realistic and you're looking at it over the next period of, you know, 3 to 4 to 5 years, the East is going to be tremendous.
All right, before we get to a post-mortem on the Leafs as a whole, let's talk about Saturday's game in particular, and certainly a lot of angst over the overturned goal by Tavares on the interference call on Justin Hall, especially based on the way that the game had been officiated and played. What were your thoughts specifically on that call?
There was no angst for me at all. It was an absolute call. I mean, that's, you know, the league had moved two of their top officials into this game, Eric Furlatt and Wes McCauley, for a reason, guys. And that's, if a call like that happened, it could be above, you know, any question. And there's a reason those two guys are reffing. And I think that is an absolute call. I thought Cirelli had the angle. I think Cirelli was going to cut off that lane. Tavares would not have had that lane. And Justin Hall is moving. He's moving. He's not standing in one place. You're allowed to your space on the ice. He's moving into that space and takes Cirelli out of the play. So I think it's an absolute call. It wasn't even a hesitation for me. And, you know, Stamkos, who's got a pretty good hockey mind, was behind the play. His hand was up, and which is one of my pet peeves, guys, when guys throw their hands up in the air during the play, particularly when the puck was over the glass. Don't tell me the puck went over the glass. I know it did. You know, we have 20 referees out in the ice and screaming and yelling. But his hand went up immediately. He knew it was a call, and I don't think there was a question that was a call that had to be made.
How impressed were you with Nick Paul?
You know, I've been a Nick Paul fan, guys, and you guys know that from talking with me over the course of the year. And you know, I'd love to have seen him stay in Ottawa. I think it's a good trade that they made. They got a player back who I think can help them But boy, oh boy, when you get the playoffs and you get that big body and you get to throw him out in the third line, and you know, even the workings of Julian Bazemon. I know Brandon Hagel hasn't been as impactful as they were hoping maybe at this point, but Nick Paul has, and that's part of that third line. And the Hagel situation is different, guys. He's 23 years old. You know, he had 20 plus goals this year, and he's got 2 years left on his deal. I mean, that's at 1.5, I think. So that's the Hagel deal is, but Nick Paul was 4 now, an unrestricted free agent. And hey, in the game, was it game 5 or game 6? He could have had 3 goals. He was in all alone. Campbell made a couple of great saves. I think it was game 6 or maybe game 5 that the Leafs won. Nick Paul could have won it himself. And, you know, he's so versatile. He brings the penalty kill. He brings the, you know, the big body. He's not, and you're not seeing, well, he's not a physical guy. He's not an overly physical guy, but that's a big body. And just, you need a guy like that. If you look at the other overtime games or the other games in that seventh game, you know, it was Panarin in overtime, it was Johnny Gaudreau in overtime, it was McDavid being McDavid, but it was Nick Paul. And, you know, when Kucherov didn't score a goal or Point got hurt or Stammer didn't score a goal, it was Nick Paul. And that's the mark of a great team. And once again, you know, I give Julian Brisebois so much credit for being able to rebuild that third line, not maybe to the fashion it was last year, but it's still early in the playoffs. And you know, and Hagel made the winning play on the goal in game six in Tampa. And so he's contributed. But I thought Nick Paul was terrific. And to do that in your hometown, you know, and guys, I go back with Nick Paul to Brampton before they made the move to North Bay. And Brampton played their home games on Sunday afternoons. And so it was an easy game for me to just, you know, casually slide up to and catch a couple periods. So I saw a lot of them back then. And actually all the forwards, the center group on that team were just a scrappy crew of Sammy Carrick, who's played games in the league, and Barkley Gaudreau, who's emerged. And Nick was part of that team, although he's playing wing at the time, and Michael Amadio. So I watched him for a long time, and what a huge night for him.
Well, Toronto's got some decisions to make. They're hard up against the salary cap. They've got some players to sign, Jack Campbell and Ilya Mikheyev being at the top of the list. Kyle Dubas has some work cut out for him for sure. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't think that he'll be back. The opportunity might be there if they want to make a change just for change sake to change the coach out. And I don't think anybody thinks that Sheldon Keefe did a poor job, but sometimes, you know, if you don't win, hard decisions are made. Do you think it's a possibility they could change the coach in Toronto?
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. And I think the ties between Kyle Dubas and Sheldon Keefe are very evident. And I don't think coaching is an issue. I really don't. So I think they remain status quo in the management, the coaching side, and that they look to make some moves, though. And I think they have to. There's going to be moves, guys, simply because there are. And this team is, by the makeup of it, it has to change out 6 to 8 to 10 players a year because they can't afford to keep them. And even when they get a discount or deal like a Mikheyev, you know, he's now going to be outpriced. And maybe Labushkin will. I mean, Labushkin's an interesting guy. He's 28 years old, and he's an unrestricted free agent. And that's pro-scouting. That's going out into a market and finding a guy. And that's excellent pro-scouting because you find him in Arizona. And so I don't think there's going to be any change at the management or coaching level. But I think they will look hard at, you know, at making a significant change. And I mentioned right on air after the game, because you look at all the different factors and the significant piece that's of most value, that's easiest to move is Willie Nylander. And it wasn't the reason why they lost. But if you want to change the core and makeup of your team after losing 5 straight elimination games, then that's the guy you're going to change. And, you know, it sounds harsh to, I'm not, you know, it's just pure math and pure logistics that say that's the guy that would bring the most back, who you could really change the flow of the conversation in that group, if that's the right way to say it. But you know, he's a dynamic player who is going to frustrate and be the exact same player that he won't change, and don't expect that to happen. But boy, is he skilled. you know, where you can put up 80 or 90 points and you could bring back a real value. So if you were going to change the core, you have the ability to do it. And you can't say, like people say, well, just roll it back. They can't roll it back, guys. The numbers don't work. Riley gets a $2.5 million raise right away, and they've got to figure out the goaltending situation. They can't. That's not the way they're built. They're not built to roll it back. They're built to change 6 or 8 or 10 players a year.
Just me, Pooley, but those finger snaps, was that cat related in the background?
It was related to almost a hail light storm, the finger snaps that was happening. And whether the cats, whether Fred and Ted had ventured outside and were part of the...
Fred and Ted are back.
Oh, I like it. I like it. To your point, Pooley, and I agree, but when you look at kind of Shanahan, and you don't just make trades for the sake of, but if Barry Trotz was available, would you not look at that if you're Toronto?
It's not the way the team is built, Simmer. You could bring Barry Trotz in, and he could, you know, impose or impart his defensive structure into the group because he's that good. It's not the way they're built.
But that's not the way the Caps were built either, and he won a cup.
Yeah, but this is a different team from the Caps, even. It is. Yeah. A different stage. It's a different team. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, a younger group, you know, I'm not sure Ovechkin would have reacted the same way to Barry Trotz at 24 years old, which is the age these guys are, as he did at the age he was at. So I don't think that's a fit at all.
Interesting. Well, this will be a very interesting offseason. We'll hear more reaction out of Toronto today and tomorrow for Garbage Bag Day and then from Dubas, et cetera. But I appreciate your time and your insight, as always. By the time we reconvene with you on Wednesday, we'll have a couple of game ones from round two in the books and a couple to look forward to on Wednesday night. So thanks for the time this morning, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again Wednesday.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy your day and enjoy the hockey.
Maybe not for a couple of days. Welcome back, everybody. 8:46 on this Monday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer, thanks again to Dave Poulin for joining us, our TSN hockey insider. Again, no Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. You get a night off after 14 straight days. Things will resume with Game 1, Round 2 tomorrow. A couple of games tomorrow, Tampa, Florida, and then the late game, St. Louis at Colorado. And then the other two series will start on Wednesday, the Rangers in Carolina, and then the Battle of Alberta. First one since 1991, Edmonton and Calgary. There hasn't been a Battle of Alberta since before the Ottawa Senators reemerged in the NHL. Just think about it in those terms.
That's incredible.
It is. Right? Yep, absolutely. By the way, we asked you on Friday, this ran through the weekend, how many of the Canadian teams of the three would survive the weekend to make it to round two? The options, of course, being zero. Well, actually, you guys didn't put zero as an option?
Yeah, I mentioned it, but the Hammer didn't think it was a good idea.
Come on, we're positive Peters here. We're thinking one Canadian team's going to move on. That's what's going on here.
Okay, anyway, the options presented, had I not been here, that would have added that option. Zero, two, or all three. And congratulations, good listeners, because you're all over it. 55% of you said two would, and two, of course, did, they being Edmonton and Calgary. Today's question, as we look ahead to round two, is this. Which series of the four in round two has the best chance of going the distance? And we know you could say all of them, but hard decision. So, I mean, we could, if you think, well, two or three of them could go to game seven. Well, which one's going to game seven overtime then? Wow. Which one will be the closest? Which one has the best chance of going the distance? Lightning, Panthers, Oilers, Flames, Rangers, Canes, Blues, Avalanche, and we'll do our official predictions tomorrow, by the way. What's your vote on this one, Simmer? Which one has the chance of being the closest?
Jared, I'm kind of...
Need a moment?
No,
I got my answer.
No, it's just interesting. What has the opportunity to go the longest? I'll go the Battle of Alberta.
Okay.
Part of me thinks Florida could steamroll physically Tampa, Carolina pick apart the Rangers, and the Av take apart St. Louis. So I'll just go with Battle of Alberta.
Okay. Hammer.
Yeah, I think that's pretty. I was thinking about the Lightning and Panthers, but I really think the Panthers are going to steamroll the Lightning.
Can I, just as a devil's advocate, both of you guys mentioned, like, what about Florida in round one impressed you? They barely got by Washington. They didn't look very good.
There's a lot of pressure.
Very good at all.
Yeah, but I think it's also a team, JR, just for where they're at. to get over that hump, and then all
President's
of a sudden,
trophy winners.
And I think Tampa's there for the taking. And if point that looks serious to me, JR.
Agreed.
They are big on the back end, but they are slow. But yeah, I don't. You're right. But
I'm
I
not
just,
arguing against you.
No,
I'm just saying.
No, like, I know what you're saying, but I just feel like that is the case. That hey, chance to finish. You know, we won a round. Washington plays hard and heavy, and I'll
just say this: yeah. of all the teams that emerged through round one, mm-hmm. the least impressive to me, and I didn't watch every second of every game was yeah. actually Florida. I thought that Washington would try to use their size against them, mm-hmm. and Tom Wilson went out, and don't forget he played 1 minute of
yeah.
game one.
Oh, that's true.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
No Tom Wilson, and they took them to six games, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I was not that impressed with Florida. Like Barkov was very quiet.
Yeah.
Throughout that series. So, maybe he's just saving it all up for round
two. I think
two.
They're just really tight with all the pressure in front of them and just trying to get through that first round. I think they're going to be a little bit looser.
Yeah.
I feel moving on. Yeah. But I think the best chance at a seven-game series or going the distance, Rangers and Hurricanes. I think both those teams are going
to... So you just changed your vote?
No, I didn't. No. I was arguing that you could look at the Panthers and Lightning, but I think the Lightning are done.
Did you say that no games were altered?
All right, so you
Rangers
are...
Rangers and Hurricanes.
Rangers, Hurricanes is your vote
yes.
of which has the chance of going the distance. I'm actually going off the page, and I'm going Blues, Avalanche. If you guys remember my round one predictions, I think like Dave Poulin, I said St. Louis was my sleeper pick to perhaps go a lot longer than people thought, and I'm going to stick with that. I think they're going to try to pound Colorado, and I thought if you look at the template for what Vegas did to Colorado last year, I think is what St. Louis is going to try to do this year. St. Louis has 9 players with 20 goals. Like, they are incredibly deep. Now, they've got a couple of injuries on defense. That's not going to help, including Krug. So he's a question mark to start. And the goaltending, listen, Husso didn't get it done. They brought in Binnington. He was good, but is he for real or is this a flash? Don't know. But I'm going to go with the Blues, Blues Avalanche as a potential of going.
Do you think St. Louis is nearly as physical as when they won, Jer?
I think they can be.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll put it that way. Yeah. I think they will be against Colorado because I think, as I said, if you like, remember that Vegas-Colorado series, right? Colorado won the first two games last year, and then Vegas just decided, you know what? We're heavier. We're fast, but we're also heavier, and we're just going to... And Colorado, man, they just shrunk.
Oh, and the symbol of that was Girard, right? Where it was just like he was on his heels before he made passes. The wingers are getting crushed by Reeves and everybody else. And, yeah, I also think tactically, and shout-out to my buddy Jimmy Montgomery, who's been kind of a co-coach to Craig Berube. What I think right now is St. Louis is a very organized hockey team as well. They play very sound hockey. Should be good. Well, they're all going to be good. I'd be real shocked also if we see, you know, we're not going to see a Preds Avs, but yeah. I'd be shocked if at least everything didn't go six, right? You know, that's where it feels like. I can't imagine we'd see a four-game series.
So to flip the question on its ear,
yeah.
And just because when you said that, that tweaked me to this question, which of the four series do you think has the best chance of maybe going shorter than we think? Which has the best chance of being a shorter series?
I'll go Carolina against the Rangers, the reverse of what Hammer said. I think that is one very organized team, and the Rangers would not have won that series had it been for this Crosby injury and came back. They still give up way too much, and Shesterkin, I'm just so impressed with Carolina. I think Carolina could pick them apart in a hurry.
Hammer?
I'm going to go with the Panthers and the Lightning in my argument before that I think the Lightning are spent. I think they've had their run. They were hopped up to play Toronto and a lot of hometown lads wanting to eliminate their hometown team growing up. And I think the Panthers are going to be right there to take advantage of that.
I'm going to agree with Simmer as well. I think there's the potential there for Carolina. If Shesterkin ends up being the Shesterkin of the regular season, then absolutely the Rangers can take this the distance and maybe even win the series. But he was very ordinary for most of the first round. That was maybe...
He was very good last night.
Yeah, from a surprisingly... I don't want to call it... He wasn't ineffective, but for just being average compared to regular... Like if Ottinger was the star of round one, Shesterkin, just in terms of the goaltenders being, you know, average to a little above, maybe, I think average is fair.
Well, yeah.
Was a surprise.
And it's also amazing, though, JR, where Ottinger has no expectations. You get thoroughly outplayed. Most goaltenders will tell you. For Shesterkin, talked about how nervous he was and talked, I think, Sorokin or Varlamov, other Russian goaltenders, what's it all about? So you'd also wonder for him getting that, especially getting last night. Like, I just felt like, wow, come on, Pittsburgh's going to win this hockey game. Get that one under your belt and now see. And maybe from a standpoint of volume of shots, although, gosh, Pittsburgh really played them last night. For a lot of goaltenders, that makes for a much easier night when you're getting lots of work.
Don't forget, 9:20 this morning, we're going to take you to Helsinki World Hockey Championships. Canada will play Slovakia in Game 3. Canada 2-0. Thomas Chabot, Drake Batherson, and Nick Holden, of course, the three Ottawa Senators on Team Canada. So that game coming up live in about a half hour or so. Let's get some of your texts at 12-1200. Cape Breton Mike writes, correct me if I'm wrong, but did Dave Poulin just say the officials officiating the Leafs Lightning game were there because the Leafs wanted officials that weren't scared to make a call like that in that series? If that's true, it makes me think the league doesn't like the Leafs. I personally don't think that way, but that comment sounds bad. That's Ramon. So
no, they were just trying to get in what they would view as a very high-pressure situation, a Game 7, which are all of them. But in a place like Toronto, they were trying to sprinkle around. And that would be not only, but I would say to a referee, that it's also a compliment, right, Chair? I mean, we want you to come in.
Yep.
This is a big deal. It's Toronto, and you understand, going back to 1993, nobody's let Carey Fraser forget about it. So I think that's all he's saying, because I thought it was a real, you know, it would have been real easy to let that go. You know, I mean, that's, and I liked it. I liked the call that they made in the Rangers overtime.
Yeah, there was, speaking just on sort of a moving pick or whatever, there was more than a few. There was one fairly blatant, similar kind of a Tampa pick. It didn't end up as a waved off goal, mm-hmm. Like it was for Toronto. But I mean, the call was made before Tavares put the puck in the net.
Yeah,
you could hear the whistle, right? So it wasn't like, oh, he put the puck in the net, I'm going to call that now. The call yeah. was made in that moment in time before Tavares
yeah.
got to the middle of the ice. Now the Tampa play, of which I've seen many people sharing on Twitter, I think actually Nick Paul was involved in that one, was similar. It's just okay. to the point of, I think there's a lot of people make the argument that there are picks like that, maybe not quite as blatant,
yeah.
8 or 10 times a game.
Yeah, that's
so
a great point.
Why
yeah.
call that
one? No, for sure. And again, without being on the ice, I guess the referee pretty quickly realized that in taking the coverage away down low, with the way the slot was wide open, this is going to turn into a golden opportunity, which I haven't seen the highlight of the other one. That's the only thought. And I'll be honest with you, Mr. Foot on the back end could be called for hooking and holding on every shift he ends up taking. But like I said, it's interesting.
Joel writes, good morning, fellas. Yesterday's rain wasn't actually rain, but all the Leafs fans' tears.
Oh.
I'm so excited to not have to listen to the fans complain about every Leaf penalty or missed call, and especially yelling, soup, after every routine yeah. save. Good riddance. That's from Joel.
Yeah, I actually, guys, I don't know, and I'm maybe just getting a little bit older, but are you not kind of, not that you're going to reach out and console them, but it's more you're feeling sorry for them to the point where it should keep them quiet at least for a few months, right? Like they're in the pain zone, right? Are they not, Jer?
Leaf fans?
Yeah,
are
like
they?
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Give them a hug.
Well, there's just nothing to really. There's nothing to say. Like,
I don't know.
There's nothing whether your team made the playoffs or not. Like there's no comeback right now. You just have to seal it off here.
You
just
see
have
them
to shut your pie hole.
You see them fighting amongst each other.
What?
After
that
the
was
game.
Classic.
Oh my god!
It was Kessel, Kessel and Gilmore.
Yes.
I think, and Mitch Marner, a young Mitch Marner, looking for anybody to throw bombs. Have you tweeted that out yet?
I haven't.
And by the looks of the crew, my first question was, how do they have the money to attend an ice hockey match?
That's parents' money right
okay,
there.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. But,
for those that haven't seen it, so this was in the concourse, I believe, after the game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it looks like you're on your way to the metro station.
Yeah, Scotiabank Arena. Yeah. And yeah, there's one guy who's looking for a fight with a guy who looks like he's just taken off his Leaf jersey. So this is Leaf fan on Leaf fan violence.
Well, it's hard to know who's on your team,
and,
JR.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden Kessel is taken on. I believe it's Gilmore, but it may have been another Marner. But I love
that you're calling them by their jersey.
That is actually pretty good.
Don't you look at that when you have, well, especially fans from the same, who are assumingly, I'm assuming, cheering for the same team, are fighting each other. physically throwing, trying to throw punches?
That's true.
Are you not looking at the, like I'm looking at Phil Kessel throwing bombs or trying to down on the ground with, I believe it's Dougie.
Yeah. So who lost
and then
the
if Dougie's in there, you're expecting a Wendell Clark to come in.
Yes, exactly.
Right? And just start throwing bombs.
My wife was in Toronto with her friends for the weekend celebrating a birthday. Yeah. And she so they were right down. They stayed at the Royal York. So right downtown.
Right across, yeah.
And she said that like before the game on Saturday, it was incredible. Just the number of fans that are down there. Yeah. Everybody's wearing a jersey. Yeah. And she said the Matthews jerseys, like the number of them, is just off the charts.
Okay, wow. Well,
and I did not see Austin Matthews was not fighting, right? There was not a Matthews fan in there.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know what jersey Buttcrack was wearing, because that's all we can go by is Buttcrack.
The other thing here's the other theory I have, is that if I have a new Matthews jersey, I tend to be intelligent and younger, but I also don't want to mess it up.
Yeah,
but if I've got an old school jersey, then I've probably, most of those guys have fallen asleep throwing up on themselves, then it's not a big a deal.
Yeah,
right?
Like Mike Kessel is not one I want to save for the rest of my life.
No, but like that scene, it's, you know, it's been to a lot of sweaty summer parties.
Yeah.
It's been left in the car. Like, a lot of things have happened there that you're just not worried about it.
Yeah, it's like, a Freddie Anderson, you know, it's just like been there, done
that. And the other thing that I'm a little concerned about is everyone brags when they have an official jersey because you have a tie down. Like, why were you not tied down, JR, if you know you're going into battle? Hey?
Good point. Very good point. All right, 8:59. We'll take a break. Top of the hour news and sports update. We'll come back. We'll just got a small segment with you. We'll have some winning for you, a chance to be there for a little bit of base sports history and some baseball history. The Ottawa Titans, our brand new pro baseball team, is opening their home schedule next week, next Tuesday. As a matter of fact, we got a pair of club seats to give away to that game coming up right after our top of the hour update. And then we're going to take you to Helsinki, Canada, Slovakia at 9:20 this morning, right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.